finance regardless of down payment. Take new retail delivery from dealer stock by November 30th, 2017. See dealer or go to buyfortnow.com for complete details.
If you watched last night's 30 for 30 on ESPN, how much sympathy do you have for Ric Flair? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
I tell you what I'm going to do for the girls one day. I'm going to put on a pair of blue jeans, and I'm going to show you why Slick Rick and Space Mountain are synonymous. You understand? Woo!
405, welcome in. I couldn't resist using another Ric Flair clip. I may just continue doing this because I think it gets under the skin of one Mark Dukes. He is clearly not a fan of professional wrestling. Hope he's still a fan of this show, though. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, taking you to 7 o'clock tonight on three frequencies, 106.3 FM in Iowa City, 107.5 FM in Cedar Rapids, and all across eastern Iowa on 1600 AM. You can even find us online streaming at kgymradio.com, where you can vote in today's poll question, which does relate back to last night's 30 for 30. Do you believe Ric Flair's claim that he slept with at least 10,000 women? Yes or no? Emil's Hideaway is on First Avenue Southeast behind Taco John's next to the Home Depot. Great show coming up for you today. We're going to talk with the play-by-play voice, the UNI Panthers, Gary Rima. Set to hear from Gary coming up at the bottom of this hour. Sometime here in the first 60 minutes, you're going to want to keep your phones handy because we've got another pair of tickets to the Hairball concert at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena next Saturday night. We'll put those in your hands before 6 o'clock. Speaking of 6 o'clock, Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be with us to answer your fantasy football questions. And we'll also have the 6 o'clock showdown for you tonight as well. A nice prize on the line. Alex, I didn't hear you talking too much about the 30 for 30 last night, so I'm going to just go ahead and assume that you passed on it.
Your assumption is even absolutely
Mark,
correct.
Even Mark Dukes watched it.
I know. I guess it slipped my mind. I got home at about 8 o'clock. And by then, it was already underway, right?
Man, I don't know. I don't pay attention.
I just correct because that would be a great excuse for me.
I just set the DVR and I was able to start in on it about 10:30 last night and sat on the couch. And again, if you watched that last night, how much sympathy do you have for that man? 319-366-1600. It was a little bit jarring. First off, I'm going to say this. I don't necessarily think that it was one of the greatest 30 for 30s. There was so much material there to mine that I think a lot of it got left out. I mean, they very, very, very briefly touched on his actual career in the ring. And I guess there's enough stuff out there for professional wrestling fans that, you know, they can satiate their taste for that. I happen to own I believe it's a 4 or 5 disc collection of Ric Flair matches, promos. I'm a big fan, and it's on the bucket list. It's one of the things I would love to meet him. I think he's a fascinating guy, but I watched that last night, and I felt nothing but sadness for this man who has, I mean, he didn't have the greatest life growing up, adopted by a couple people and didn't have much of a connection with them, according to that part of the story was fantastic last night. The look inside his childhood and taking through the college years at the University of Minnesota. He wanted to go to Michigan, but they didn't offer him. Great segments with Vern Gagne's son was on there last night. The Undertaker, Hulk Hogan made an appearance. One guy you didn't see, though, was Vince McMahon. Did not make an appearance there. Touched briefly, just ever so briefly, on Dusty Rhodes, and I think they really missed an opportunity there because they were. You're looking at me like you are a fish out of water right now. You are looking at me like you are so uncomfortable.
Well, it's not you. It's...
If I had a heart attack on the air right now and you had to pick up this discussion.
Well, I couldn't do it.
You could, okay.
Couldn't do it. But I'm reading the text line, and I was hesitant to watch this.
See, her teen and stalker text line.
Because if you can't hear it in the sound of my voice, I'm not feeling the greatest. And I was trying to nurse myself back to health last night, and apparently it failed. But I'm reading the text line, Woo! And now I have to watch this. Because it doesn't... I'm not a fan of professional wrestling. I don't dislike it. I just never got into it. But from the way that you guys are talking about it, it had very little to do with professional wrestling. It had more to do with the Nature Boy himself.
Absolutely. And here at the bottom of it, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody who hasn't watched it, and if you know anything about the man, his real name is Richard Fleer. And I don't necessarily know if that guy exists anymore. I think he ceased to exist in his early 20s, because when he became a professional wrestler, he started to live his gimmick, as they say. And there were some eye-opening things last night. I think it was Hulk Hogan who basically said, this guy can't live and function as a regular human being outside of the realm of the persona. And I don't know if I could live that life and it's extremely difficult. And I won't get any specifics here, but I used to work with somebody who, for purposes of their privacy, and by the way, this is not my former co-host. I want to be very clear about that, because people love to listen to this program and connect dots. I'm not talking about Tyler here, but I used to work with somebody, or any of my other former co-hosts. I want to get Brent included in there as well. But I used to work with somebody who, for the purposes of privacy, used a different last name than their actual name. And over the course of time, it was fascinating, because I think this person sort of became that other persona, and the real person got lost in the muck. And before you know it, the other person took over. It was one human being. He had two identities, and the private life, the actual individual, that guy just seemed to vanish. And it was unfortunate, and I think that's what's going on here with Ric Flair, but not the greatest. Now, we've got the people who hate professional wrestling on the text line, and that's fine by me. There are a lot of people out there who like it, and I don't necessarily think that you need to like professional wrestling to watch the 30 for 30 and take some enjoyment out of it. I mean, Mark Dukes clearly is not a fan of professional wrestling. I don't think he would know Harley Race from a Harley Davidson if both were placed in front of him, but he watched it and seemed to take some things away from it. By the way, no mention of Harley Race last night, which again goes back to the fact that they didn't touch on his career in the ring. They glossed over the Four Horsemen aspect of it, but I think the part with Dusty Rhodes, they could have tied that back into how much he lived his gimmick, because that rivalry, they were friends, they got along, but back then you had to pretend, you have to live in that world of kayfab where you never break character. And I think there was a little bit of depth that they could have expected. 90 minutes just isn't enough with a man that complex. And the family stuff with his son overdosing and his daughter following in his footsteps, and this guy wasn't the greatest dad in the world, and he's been married four times. Obviously, if he slept with 10,000 women, he's not exactly prone to monogamy, and he talks about that less. I walked away last night feeling a tremendous amount of sympathy for somebody that I have always enjoyed watching. I've been a fan of his for a long time, and it sort of left me feeling sad at the end of the night, which is not what I needed yesterday, because I was looking forward to that 30 for 30 as a pick-me-up after yesterday's news. And I felt a little hungry, and that has nothing to do with cutting out the carbs, if so to speak. 319-366-1600. Let's go to somebody we haven't heard from in a while. Sonny in Iowa City is going to bat leadoff for us tonight. Woo! Sonny, go ahead.
Is that how you're going to introduce all the guests today?
Maybe. Maybe. It could be a thing. I don't know.
It could be a thing. I think that you really hit on the important thing with this, which is that the brilliance of these 30 for 30 documentaries is that you do not have to actually be a fan of the particular content going into it. I personally hate the University of Miami. I cannot stand Miami. I always say that Miami versus Florida State should be the Meteor Bowl because all I do is root for a meteor to hit the stadium. However, the University of Miami 30 for 30 back in the 90s was brilliant. It was captivating. It was amazing. And I think that you probably get the same thing with this Ric Flair one. I haven't actually seen it yet, but I know from the track history of the 30 for 30s that there really isn't many of them that are not worth watching just to get the context as sports fans of the kind of things that really transfix America. And whether or not you hate professional wrestling, I'm personally not a fan, you know, you cannot deny the impact that it has had on the American public and particularly sports fans. So I'm all for the 30 for 30 documentaries.
I appreciate it, Sonny. And by the way, the next one I think is Bill Belichick and Bill Parcells, Two Bills, which, okay. Alex is looking at me like, yeah, that one he's going to put on the DVR. And by the way,
I'm going to go back and watch this one.
We can't go any further without acknowledging the Department of Corrections here. I owe Mark Dukes an apology. He is texting me. My phone is blowing up. It's not a Samsung Note, by the way, which is...
It's
not literally blowing up.
It's just a figure of speech.
Mark Dukes apparently knows a little bit more about pro wrestling than I was giving him credit for, or he's with the guys at the bowling alley who are filling him in on this, but Mark is aware of Handsome Harley Race. So I retract and apologize for my comment that Mark would not know Harley Race from a Harley Davidson. King Harley Race later on in the WWF when he was toward the tail end of his career. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk a little bit about the college football playoff rankings. Week 2 poll released last night. Iowa and Iowa State both inside the top 25 this week in the college football playoff rankings. Alex has a very interesting question. And he wasn't watching 30 for 30 last night, but he was spending a little time on Facebook, and we're going to get to that coming up in the 5 o'clock hour today. It's also signing day for men's and women's basketball, among a number of other sports. The Hawkeyes picking up a couple 6'4 shooting guards in C.J. Frederick and Joe Wieskamp. And here I was sitting in the office earlier today, and it was about 2:45. And what did I say? What did I say? I go, I wonder if we can reach out to Joel and Muscatine, and Joel and Muscatine could call in. And he wrote a very nice piece on Joe Wieskamp. It's available if you check out our Facebook page and search for KGYM Radio. You'll find it from the from one of the media outlets in Muscatine. I thought, let's have Joel and Muscatine come on the program and tell us a little bit about Joe Wieskamp. And Joel and Muscatine called into the gym class earlier
today. I timed
it.
It was like a minute and a half later.
Joel and Muscatine called in about 2 minutes after I said, well, then it was after 3 o'clock, shortly after 3 o'clock. And I'm just sitting there going, you got to be kidding me. There goes a great idea. But I have good news for the listeners out there who may want to hear a little bit more about the Muscatine guard. I'm sitting across from a guy who saw him play in person a number of times. The play-by-play voice of the South Gym, 106.3 FM, the one and only Alex Kuhn himself. So Alex, later on today when we talk college hoops and the signing day, you can fill us in a little bit on what Joe Wieskamp means for the Hawkeyes and C.J. Frederick signing on the dotted line as well. Iowa State with 4 commitments today and the possibility for a fifth. Down the road, it just depends on what happens with Tyler Harris, who's from Memphis. I don't know how closely you follow Memphis. Alex is shaking his head. No. You follow Memphis professional wrestling. Jerry the King Lawler.
Our tailgating spot is just feet from the Mid-South Coliseum, home of Mid-South Wrestling.
Excellent.
But that's all I know. I know Jerry the King Lawler, and I know Ric Flair, who's also from Memphis. But everything that I know about professional wrestling, I learned from listening to you guys.
From Memphis football tailgating.
Well, yeah, that too.
Yeah, so Iowa State's got four guys that signed on the dotted line.
They recruited heavily out of Chicago.
They did, and I think that if you're an Iowa State fan, you can officially drop the concern about Steve Prohm's recruiting. Remember when they hired him to replace Fred Hoiberg after he left for the Bulls? The knock on Prohm coming from Murray State was, I don't know, can this guy recruit? And some of the Cyclone fans were still banging that drum very recently. You go into Chicago, they're having better success in the Chicago area than the Iowa program has had in the last decade or so, just in 1 year alone. And part of that, as we touched on, there was a little bit of drama between the top two players in the state of Illinois, and apparently Champaign-Urbana is not big enough, or the State Farm Center isn't big enough for both of those egos. And so the number one player in the state of Illinois told Brad Underwood that, hey, it's make a choice. Either you're going to either take me or take him. And they chose to take the number one guy.
Does this dawn on anybody else when you hear something like that? I think a lot of people think, oh man, I'd love to be a college coach. I'd love to get paid millions of dollars to coach college kids. But you have 17-year-old kids holding you hostage? That sounds like a pretty rough life. You're getting bossed around by 17. Your entire livelihood is based on the egos of 16 and 17-year-old kids. Recruiting has become so big now that this becomes a story that two kids can't play together, and that's why they're not going to the University of Illinois and one's going to Iowa State. It's fascinating to me.
You and I, by the way, got a major, major signature on the dotted line today from AJ Green as well, right in the Panthers' backyard. I don't want to overlook you and I, and we're going to be talking with Gary Rima coming up at the bottom of the hour, and look forward to our chat with him. Remember, we've got the pair of hairball tickets today as well, 319-366-1600. We're going to put those in your hands sometime before the end of hour number one. Let's head to the phone lines here, 319-366-1600. Matt in Cedar Rapids wants to talk about the world of basketball recruiting. What's up, Matt?
Hey, I was just listening there, and a big Iowa State fan, so I'm happy that the number one and the number two guys of Illinois evidently couldn't get along. But not that long ago, we had the Fab Five, you know, and they're recruiting each other to Michigan. This day and age, you don't see that happen too much anymore, so just wanted to chime in on that. Happy to see all four Iowa State guys signed today.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes you do. There's a definite rapport between some members of the Iowa basketball program, and Connor McCaffrey and Patrick McCaffrey and Joe Wieskamp know each other really well from the AAU, and Jordan Bohannon knows Connor McCaffrey from the AAU circuit, so there's a little bit of that, but that's an excellent point.
It is.
Because we've come a long way from, you know, and look, I think if you're the best, you want to have the best around you. And this seems to, and maybe this is a generational thing. And I don't necessarily want to go down that path, because I think sometimes it's lazy to just say, oh, millennials this and millennials that. But maybe it's a generational thing where they're just not tough enough to stand the competition, or they're not sure of themselves enough. They don't want someone else around who could outshine them. You don't want it. Nobody ever wants to be the number one guy and not be as good as the number two guy. And this all goes back. I mean, it's Jordan and Sam Bowie. I mean, Sam Bowie goes ahead of Michael Jordan in the draft, and you know, everybody talks about how great Jordan is, and you're the number one guy, and that's your epitaph. I mean, that's your obituary. When you pass away, it's going to be Sam Bowie, the guy who was drafted before Michael Jordan. And that's a terrible way to have to go through life. But look, Illinois' loss is Iowa State's gain here. And we're talking about Talon Horton Tucker, if you're unaware of which player we're discussing there.
To the point that the caller just made and that you just made, Todd, you don't see it all that often anymore where a lot of big-time recruits want to go play with each other at a certain school, but where you do see it is right at the top. Look at Kentucky. For all that people talk about John Calipari and what he does, what he really does is he gets five of the best high school prospects in the country to play team basketball every year. And nobody can take that away from him, because you see in this day and age, top level recruits saying, oh, well, I want to go somewhere where I can be the man and get more playing time. And a lot of times it doesn't work out. You think about Ben Simmons going to LSU a couple of years ago. Didn't work out for him, but Kentucky, year in and year out, somehow coexist with the best freshmen in the country, and they all are leaving after 1 year, and it doesn't bother them that they're giving up playing time to play besides the best players.
By the way, if you do like college recruiting and want to be a college head coach, there could be an opening relatively soon, because it sounds like Bruce Pearl is really caught up in the shoe lawsuit that took down Rick Pitino at Louisville and some of the other issues that are going on with the FBI investigation. Auburn has an internal investigation going on at that program, and Bruce Pearl is a little hesitant to become fully cooperative with his own school. This isn't the NCAA investigating, it's his own school, and according to ESPN, it may lead to Bruce Pearl losing his job, because I think Auburn's a little worried here, which, again, you played with fire.
You knew what you were getting into.
You knew what you were getting into. It's exactly like when Indiana hired Kelvin Sampson. When you hire somebody who's got a track record, it's not if, it's when. And so it looks like Bruce Pearl is living on borrowed time in Auburn and the SEC, his second go-around in the SEC. 426. We'll step aside, take a quick break. Remember the Hertied and Stocker text line available for you, 319-366-1600. Duker is never going to let me live down the Harley race comment. I just know it. Kyle is going to join us in the studio next. You'll have your first Midwest One Bank Big Board update of the day. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, and anywhere if you've got an internet connection, KGYMradio.com, you can stream us 24/7. Back with more of the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Let's visit your folks in Florida over winter break.
Good idea.
I'm checking fares from the Quad City International Airport. They have nonstop Allegiant flights to the Fort Myers area starting December 15th. Ooh, that's perfect. The kids can swim and you and your dad can play golf.
What about you?
Oh, I'll be shopping with your mom, talking about how lucky you two are to have such spectacular wives.
Plan your Florida getaway to Fort Myers or four other Allegiant destinations at qcairport.com. The Quad City International Airport, making travel easier.
Hi, I'm Douglas Hass. Are you wasting time worrying about timekeeping and scheduling instead of calling the plays for your business? The pros at Future Systems can handle all of your scheduling and timekeeping needs. With web-based timekeeping, your team can clock in whether they're at home or away. And when you add integrated scheduling, you can avoid a penalty flag for having too many players on the field. Call the All-Americans at Future Systems today at 800-453-5809 or learn more at future-systems.net.
Welcome back in. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, and it's time for a Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as one of 10 finalists for the 2017 Senior Class Award today, an honor going to seniors who best exemplify excellence in community, classroom, character, and competition alike. He was recently named a semifinalist for the Butkus and Bednarik Awards and joins Ohio State's JT Barrett and Billy Price as senior class finalists in the Big Ten. Speaking of awards, Chad Lystico tweeted that he spoke with the spokesperson for the Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back, and they told him in regards to Josh Jackson, it's not unprecedented for a player who was not listed as a semifinalist to go on to be named as a finalist. It's National Letter of Intent Day around the country, and the schools around the state have locked in some pretty impressive recruits. Muscatine's Joe Wieskamp is the 69th ranked prospect in his class, according to ESPN, and he signed on the dotted line for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. UNI secured the 74th ranked prospect, A.J. Green, easily the biggest commitment for the Panthers since Doug McDermott almost played there. While the Cyclones signed four players, including four-star Talon Horton Tucker, who chose Iowa State over offers from Kansas, Michigan State, and Ohio State. The Iowa women also signed four players, including Logan Cook, the daughter of former Iowa tight end Marv Cook, while Iowa State signed a trio, including Iowa City High's five-star Ashley Jones. Regina was swept by Western Christian today at the state volleyball tournament, which leaves Cedar Falls, Linmar, Xavier, and Dubuque Waller as the big local schools still remaining. Keep it here after the show for ESPN programming.
All right, and speaking of programming notes, we do want to remind you, if you were not tuned in yesterday, we are not going to have a Todd Brommelkamp show on Friday, partly due to the Iowa City West football game and partly due to the fact that I have had a death in the family and have some family business to attend to. So tomorrow, Thursday's show, we're going to treat that as if it's going to be our Friday show. We'll preview Iowa and Wisconsin. Back with more after this.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Podcasts. ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Doug Brown. ESPN's Adam Schefter reports doctors did not find any additional damage to Deshaun Watson's right knee. The Texans quarterback had surgery today on his torn ACL. He got hurt in practice last Thursday. Vikings quarterback Teddy Bridgewater comes off the PUP list today. Bridgewater's last meaningful game was 22 months ago in a playoff loss to the Seahawks. He's coming back from a dislocated knee. ESPN's Arash Markazi reports three UCLA basketball players are now out on bail but confined to their hotel after being accused of shoplifting sunglasses from a Louis Vuitton store in Hangzhou, China. LiAngelo Ball, Jalen Hill, and Cody Riley will not play in Friday's season opener against Georgia Tech in Shanghai. ESPN has learned Auburn basketball coach Bruce Pearl is not cooperating with an internal investigation into his program. Pearl has been told his job is in jeopardy if he doesn't start cooperating. The school announced today associate head coach Chuck Person was fired 3 weeks ago. He now is under indictment on federal charges.
Get a large two-topping Pizza Hut pizza for just $7.99 when you order online. It's the best pizza delivery deal out there. No one out-pizzas the Hut. Click for this offer. Delivery minimums and fees may apply. Additional charge for extra cheese and stuffed crust. Product availability, prices, participation, and delivery areas may vary. The delivery charge is not a driver tip.
Don't just survive the holidays, slay the season with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance products. Fuel stronger workouts with GNC Amp Whey Bolic Protein. It's clinically proven to increase strength. GNC Amp Ripped Vitapack burns more calories. And Performix Iridium SSTI delivers explosive energy for every workout. Save today with buy one, get one half off GNC Sports Performance. Hustle to GNC or GNC.com. Sale ends November 22nd. Slay the season, only at GNC. Live well.
At Progressive, we think your handbag business with a reversible top-notch is top-notch. In fact, there's no other notch at the tippity-top your top-notch doesn't top. But even at the top, you didn't stop. You copped Progressive Business Insurance. With over 40 years of expertise helping non-stop and top-notchers notch spots at the top. Now, break out your stopwatch and hopscotch to ProgressiveCommercial.com. Because this is one opportunity you don't want to botch. Progressive Casualty Insurance and Affiliates.
Napa Know-How.
Making your budget last longer than it should is an accomplishment, but making motor oil last longer than it should? Dangerous. Lucky for you, Pennzoil Full Synthetic is only $4.99 a quart. Its long-lasting formula and low price can help your engine and your wallet go farther. Pennzoil Full Synthetic for $4.99. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How.
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 12/31/17.
Whew, sorry I'm late. Ready to tee off?
Dude, you're glowing gold.
Yeah, stopped by Shell on the way to the course and got rewarded with instant gold status.
Cool. Does it do anything?
Yeah, it saves me 5 cents per gallon on every fill every day.
Whoa.
And it crushes the long ball. Watch this. Nope, it just saves at Shell.
Get rewarded at Shell when you join the Fuel Rewards program now at fuelrewards.com/gold. Restrictions apply. Active gold status required. Introductory offer valid for 6 months after activation. Limit 20 gallons per transaction at participating Shell stations. See fuelrewards.com/gold for details. Doesn't actually turn bodies gold.
4:35, welcome back in the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on a Wednesday afternoon. Remember, we've still got those hairball tickets to give away for that concert next Saturday at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. Be listening for your chance to win. Let's get to our Wednesday conversation. We've been talking about getting ready to hear from him for a while now here in the first hour of the program today. It's Gary Reima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. And first thing I think of every Saturday when I see the UNI score is, are we going to have a happy Gary Reima on Wednesday, or are we going to have a sad Gary Reima? And man, I'm over the moon that we've got a happy Gary Reima today. Another big win for the Panthers.
Wow. We're back in everybody's bracketology for the FCS playoffs after winning our third game against a stretch of four top 10 ranked teams. Another exciting win on Saturday when we took down sixth-ranked South Dakota. And, you know, and to think where this team was at, sitting 2-3 overall, and then knowing at that point of the season you had four straight games against top 10-ranked teams, and you just knew how tough it was going to be, two of those on the road, two at home. And, guys, to win three out of four over top 10-ranked teams, you know, it's and you know, Hawkeye fans have every reason to be just totally thrilled about what their team did this last Saturday. And the Cyclone fans should be pumped up about what Iowa State has done, taking down a couple of top 10-ranked teams in FBS football. But when you got to play four straight top 10-ranked teams right in a row, and you win three of those four, guys, that's hugely impressive for any football program at any level. So we're pretty ecstatic right now to think that we're right back where we want to be in the playoff hunt. Can't take any steps back. You can't get upset now in these next 2 weeks, because we got a couple of teams that are going to try and make their season by upsetting this Panther football team. But love the way the team is playing this stretch of the season. And Coach Farley, you look at the history of Coach Farley in his 17th year as the Panther head coach, he's almost unbeatable in the month of November. It's like we should just call it Farley month, because it's his month, it seems like, more times than not. So things are on an upswing. Things are looking good, and we're hoping the football team continues to take care of business so we can get back into the FCS playoffs and have a shot at that national championship.
Gary, let's go back to September 16th for a second. After that loss to Southern Utah, if I would have told you this team would have gone 4-2 in their next six with wins over South Dakota State, Youngstown State, and South Dakota, would you have believed me at the time?
I might have said, "Are you a little crazy? Are you on something?" Or, but no, you know what? When we left Southern Utah, just some of the other people in the media on the trip and stuff, as we were waiting to get on the airplane and fly back, we were just kind of shaking our head, wondering how good was this team going to be. And you know, knowing the daunting schedule that we had ahead in the Missouri Valley Football Conference, and how good all of a sudden we were realizing South Dakota was. We knew that South Dakota State, North Dakota State, and at the time Youngstown State, was going to be really, really good. But with the emergence of South Dakota, Western Illinois has been a solid team, you know, in recent years. So I just don't think any of us would have agreed with that and thinking, nah, you know, if we went 500 through that stretch, you know, we might be doing great. But to win the way we did, to beat the teams we did, guys, I'm telling you, this Panther football team, in a way, if you look back at what Youngstown State did a year ago in their run to the national championship game, it's almost like this Panther team is taking that route this year with, you know, kind of so-so early on and then got hot in the last month of the season and then just was unbeatable. So let's hope that this Panther team continues to improve. The other thing that I would say, too, is we were hoping that with the seven new coaches on staff that somehow you could overcome that and be all right early. But guys, I think that was part of the reason it just took a while for this whole thing to come together this year. The coach is trying to figure out who should play where and what kind of personnel they did have and what guys could and couldn't do. And it's like all of a sudden now they've got it figured out on who should be playing, who should be playing where, what they should be doing offensively and defensively. And it's really come together. And it's been actually as frustrating as times it has been, it's really been enjoyable to see how this team has rallied and stuck together and hung together when, I mean, let's face it, some of the fan base was really down on this team when we were sitting 2-3. But I think we got them all back on board now.
Gary, on Saturday, you and I's down 23-13 in the third quarter. They get outgained 490-238 as far as total yards go. How did they find a way to pull this one off?
Turnovers. The defense just did some incredibly awesome things to help us pull that. If you remember, we were still down 23-20, and South Dakota had the football first and goal at the 4. In the fourth quarter with like 8.5 minutes to go, they punched that touchdown in there, which it felt like they probably were going to. It was going to be tough to make up 10 points in the final 8 minutes of that game, but we get the big interception in the end zone. We weren't able to score, but we moved the football, punted, put them deep in their own territory, and on that next Dakota possession, the Coyotes fumbled it again. We jar it loose. Jared Farley scoops it up and takes it down to the 10 or 11-yard line. We punch it in from there, go ahead, and then the pick six really helped seal the deal. So when you think about it, in the final 8 minutes of that game with you and I trailing, the defense getting three turnovers, in my mind, is the total difference in that football game. You know, if you look at the stats, they had almost 500 yards of offense. We didn't even have 300. But when you win the turnover battle, you don't turn it over, and you get two interceptions and two fumble recoveries, that tips the table in your favor, and our guys took advantage of it and pulled that game out.
Gary Reimer, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, joining us here on the program. Missouri State next up for UNI, and what are your thoughts on this week's game?
You know, guys, I know people will say, "Oh, you're just trying to build up the game," but this is a bit of a scary game, and partly because Missouri State is playing their best football of the year. They're averaging almost 500 yards of offense in their last four or five games. They're a tough offense to defend, kind of a triple option type look. Their quarterback is their leading rusher. He's been really good of late. They scored 59 points the other day. And I know Indiana State's not a great team, but you know, when you score 59 points, you're doing something good. They just won two games in a row. It's their senior day. It's their final home game of the regular season. And guys, it always scares me when you play a team that has nothing to lose but another game. I mean, they're not going anywhere. They're not a playoff potential team. So they're going to try and make their season this Saturday by pulling off a big upset and really ruining some of what the Panthers have accomplished to this point. And the thought is that if you and I doesn't win their next two, that they won't be a playoff team. 6-5 won't get them in, even though they got three wins over top 10 ranked teams. So Missouri State on their home field is going to be tough. I know the other thing too is we just absolutely buried this team last year, and you think, well, you know, fine, then you'll be able to go. We beat them 61-7 at our place last year, but a lot of the guys that are playing for Missouri State are a year older this year. They were a young team a year ago. They remember the beatdown that you and I put on them, and you know they'd love nothing more than to return the favor with even a one-point win. So even our players, after the win this past Saturday, a couple of them said, you know, we got a trap game coming up this Saturday. If we don't raise our level of play and approach this game like we're taking on another top 10 ranked team, Missouri State's good enough to beat us. So it's a bit of a scary game. I like our chances. I don't think there's any doubt we're the better team, but I think we all know in football, the best team doesn't always win. So if we're off our game, if we turn it over, if our defense doesn't continue to play great, it could come as a bit of a struggle on Saturday to get that sixth win of the year that would set up our opportunity to get a good win in the final week of the regular season at home against a winless Indiana State team.
Gary, it seems like we're talking about him every week, but another 2.5 tackles for loss and a sack for Ricky Neal. Is anybody wreaking more havoc on the defensive side of the football than him right now?
Well, you know, it's interesting because against Youngstown State, he was lights out, was named the player of the week in the league and got some national honors. And then at North Dakota State, he was kind of off his game and didn't have one of his better games at North Dakota State. And you got to give the Bison some credit for that. They neutralized him somehow. But he was back to his old self on Saturday and just had another tremendous game. Love the energy that he brings to the defense. And he's really emerged as one of our top guys in that four-man front. He's just so athletic. He can drop into coverage. He's a hard hitter. Ricky's been a big part of why we've been successful defensively. You know, and that's with the usual suspects of Jared Farley and Duncan Furch and Adam Reth and Elijah Campbell, Malcolm Washington. Those guys have been huge too. But man, with the way Ricky Neal has come on, it's almost like he was kind of a missing piece early in the year for what our defense needed to put some pressure on the other team, whether it's in their passing game or run game. And Ricky's got to – we need consistent play out of him now the rest of the way and right on into the playoffs if we take care of business these next 2 weeks.
Basketball season about to get underway this week, and you and I with a heck of an opener traveling to Chapel Hill to take on North Carolina. What'd you take away from that exhibition game against Wisconsin?
By the way, no problem with that season opener, guys. I mean, we'll just go down there to the Dean Dome and how about that opening up the season against the defending NCAA national champions when they're going to drop a banner in the Dean Smith Dome, and it'd be fun to be there. But I think we saw some better offense out of this UNI basketball team in the exhibition game Sunday. I like the way Spencer Haldeman played in the first half. We need him to also stay offensive minded for all 40 minutes. And then Tywan Pickford really emerged in the final 10 minutes of the game, and I think he finally started contributing with some things from shooting, scoring, rebounding, defending like the coaching staff expected him to do and what they had seen in practice out of him. So it was a good game to win. I'll tell you what, that was a good Division II basketball team that Ben Miller and his dad, Eldon Miller, have it at UNC Pembroke. They're ranked 23rd in the country in Division II basketball. They were in the NCAA tournament last year and won a game. They had some talented players. And I think the other thing is, too, we had a comfortable lead late in the first half. It evaporated in the second half. We got behind, and our guys stayed composed and really did a great job in the closing minutes of that game to make sure that we didn't get beat in that exhibition game. Also, I would like to mention that Austin Fife, watch that true freshman. I think Austin Fife is going to be quite a player to follow in UNI Panther basketball for the next 4 years. He's an emerging star. He was playing both Pickford and Fife, true freshmen, were playing in the final 8 minutes of that game, in the guts of the game when we were behind. Bennett Cook, the senior, wasn't in there. And so I think, well, there's no doubt that those two guys are not going to redshirt, but I think those guys are going to maybe play even a bigger role for this basketball team this year than some of us initially thought.
I brought up the schedule a couple of weeks ago. You lead off the season with North Carolina, then the battle for Atlantis with SMU, and then Iowa State and Xavier. What do you think that this non-conference schedule is going to tell us about this team?
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's going to prepare this basketball team for the Missouri Valley Conference, because it's all about winning the Missouri Valley Conference, winning the postseason tournament. And if you play a bunch of cupcakes in your non-conference schedule and you get a false sense of security, a bit of a mirage that, hey, you know, we're 11-1 or 10-2 and we're pretty good, and then all of a sudden you get into the league and you start getting knocked off by teams that are better than some of the ones you played in the non-conference schedule, huge disappointment. So I think playing a tough schedule like this will certainly it'll get some of these young guys to have to grow up even faster and be ready for league play. And plus, it gives UNI basketball the opportunity that if they somehow could win some of these tough non-conference games over some of the Power Five schools, if you will, and then have a really good Missouri Valley Conference season, it can give you and I that opportunity to at least be in the discussion on Selection Sunday to be an at-large team if they don't get the automatic berth out of the Missouri Valley Conference postseason tournament. So I think there's a whole lot more good that comes out of playing a really tough non-conference schedule for you and I than playing a weak schedule. We've seen that in previous years when Illinois State and some of the teams in the league did not schedule a good strength of schedule in the non-conference part, and then they still went out and won 24, 25, 26 games and didn't get the automatic berth to the dance, they still couldn't garner an at-large bid. So I think Coach Jacobson's got the right formula, and even if you struggle in the non-conference part of the schedule, now you know what you got to do in the league season. You got to be great. You got to win it, and playing tough teams certainly will help prepare this basketball team for that run.
Gary, great stuff as always. We appreciate it, and best of luck to the Panthers this week in basketball and football. We'll catch up with you next week.
All right, looking forward to the next couple of days to North Carolina. We fly tomorrow, and then I'll be in Springfield, Missouri, Saturday for football. So a couple of crazy days, Friday night and calling basketball, and Saturday Panther football. Looking forward to it.
Racking up those frequent flyer miles and hopefully victories. Thanks, Gary.
Thanks, guys.
That was Gary Reimer, play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. And you know what? We mentioned this coming into talking to Gary, and I just feel like getting him out of the way right now. How about we take caller number 6 to 319-366-1600. You're going to get a pair of tickets to see Hairball next Saturday at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena. You got to come by the station and pick these up, though. We don't want to run the risk of them not getting to you in time for the show next Saturday. Hairball tickets to caller number 6 right now. Again, the number 366-1600. Kyle's going to prepare another big board update. He'll also let us know who our winner is when we return after this. It's the Todd Bromelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, and on KGYMRadio.com. Back with more after this.
As GIs returned from overseas and families began to boom, young Willa Dickens began honing his watchmaking craft at a highly regarded jewelry store on a bustling corner in downtown Iowa City. He worked steadily behind his jeweler's glass, eventually taking over the business. And as his reputation grew, so did his family. Sons Terry and Tim spent afternoons at his knee, learning about gemstones, precious metals, and most importantly, how to properly treat a customer. And as the decades passed, the three of them, along with a remarkably dedicated staff of friends, as well as Willa's granddaughter Kate, continued the tradition of excellence and integrity begun at Hertin and Stocker Jewelers in 1947. Now, as they celebrate their 70th year, stop by and see what's sparkling in those famous windows on the corner of Dubuque and Washington Streets in downtown Iowa City. Then step inside and say congratulations to Willa, Terry, Tim, or Kate. One of them is always there.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
David in North Liberty, congratulations. You are going to take in Hairball, Cedar Rapids Ice Arena next week. Remember, tickets are still available. You can buy them at the Cedar Rapids Ice Arena box office, or you can get them online, or you can listen to tomorrow's show. And we're actually going to double up on both prizes tomorrow. The gym class is going to have two Dr. Pepper prize packs to give away tomorrow, and we're going to have two pairs of tickets, because it just dawned on me, since we're not on the air on Friday, we're going to have to make good on that giveaway. So we'll have two chances for you to see Hairball for free on us tomorrow. Right now we've got one chance to send it to Kyle for another big board update. Midwest One sponsors these. Midwest One's got over 40 locations across the corridor for all your banking needs.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was named as one of 10 finalists for the 2017 Senior Class Award today, an honor going to seniors who best exemplify excellence in community, classroom character, and competition alike. He was also recently named a semifinalist for the Butkus and Bednarik Awards and joins Ohio State's JT Barrett and Billy Price as senior class finalists in the Big Ten. Speaking of awards, Chad Lystico tweeted that he spoke with a spokesperson for the Thorpe Award, which goes to the nation's best defensive back, and they told him in regards to Josh Jackson, it's not totally unprecedented for a player who was not listed as a semifinalist to go on to be named as a finalist. It's National Letter of Intent Day around the country, and schools around the state have locked in some pretty impressive recruits. Muscatine's Joe Wieskamp is the 69th-ranked prospect in his class, according to ESPN, and he signed on the dotted line for Fran McCaffrey and the Hawkeyes. UNI secured the 74th-ranked prospect, A.J. Green, easily the biggest commitment for the Panthers since Doug McDermott almost played in Cedar Falls, while the Cyclones signed four players, including four-star Talon Horton Tucker, who chose Iowa State over offers from Kansas, Michigan State, and Ohio State. Regina was swept by Western Christian today at the state volleyball tournament, which leaves Cedar Falls, Linmar, Xavier, and Dubuque Wallard as big local schools still remaining. And after the show, keep it here for some ESPN programming.
All right. Thank you very much, Kyle. 4:55, hour number one, almost in the books. Get your fantasy football questions to us now. Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com is going to be with us in the 6 o'clock hour tonight. We'll also have the 6 o'clock showdown. Coming up in hour number two, we're going to talk a little bit more about the college football playoff ranking week two, released last night during the 6 o'clock hour of the show. If you weren't with us, we'll take a little bit of a deeper dive into some of the rankings. And Alex is going to put forth a question that I think in Big Ten country is going to pique a lot of people's interest. That's all coming up after 5 o'clock, so stick around with us on 106.3 and 107.5 FM, 1600 AM, our historic main gym frequency, the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. One more day of programming this week. We want to be very clear about that. I can't remind you enough that we are not going to be doing a show on Friday. That was due in part to the Iowa City West football game. That is was originally scheduled to air on our FM frequencies, and then we were going to be on 1600 AM. I've had a death in the family, and services, part of the services are on Friday, so I'm not going to be here. So no programming other than the gym class on Friday. They'll do the Carl and Ernie's pick six. We're going to have our picks in their hands, and we'll see whether or not they get nefarious. And they're going to know, Alex, they're going to know all of our picks, and so then they can coordinate a strategy. I don't necessarily know whether I like this or not, but because we're not going to be on the air on Friday, we're going to treat tomorrow's program as if it were a Friday. Now, it's not a KGYM road trip driven by Linder Tire, but we're going to have Rob Howe from HawkeyeNation.com. He's going to have Kevin Casper, the former Iowa wide receiver, with us, and we'll preview Iowa and Wisconsin this weekend.
Now, should we just give our picks to Sean and have him read them off?
Well, that would, you know what? I think that's probably a good idea. Or we could give the picks to Harley Race, and he could give them to Mark Dukes, since they're apparently tight. I still don't believe Mark knows who Harley Race is. He's never going to let me live this one down. 1 hour in the books, two to go. Back with more after this.